The assigned text is the one which was just read, of which I will read a few verses. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house, and Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with diverse diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. My son, the doctor, is the way the proud father introduced his illustrious offspring. Obviously, he, I guess, hoped to share in some of the glory of his son's noteworthy profession. Well, a lot of people would like to be doctors. As far as the world is concerned, nothing could be more important than making sick people well. The entire medical profession is dedicated to just that end, the eradication of suffering, sickness, even death itself. And really, none of us likes to be sick. We cower and we cringe in the face of it. When our bodies cease functioning normally, the first thing we do is call the doctor. And when our loved ones are sick, we fret and we stew until we are assured by someone who really knows that everything's going to be all right. And we heave a sigh of relief only when things are back to normal. Well, these experiences often leave us shaken and unsure of the future. Those events seem to be sure signals that sooner or later, some little bug is going to get us. Now, wouldn't it be great if there were some physician around who could heal anything, who could take care of any eventuality, any emergency? With him around, we could really live happily, without fear. What's needed is that someone know exactly what ails this dying world and then can cure it for good and for all. That's the kind of doctor that people need to be brought into contact with. Well, in our text, Simon Peter's mother-in-law was sick, it says, with a great fever. And later, as the sun was setting, it was late in the day, people from everywhere with every conceivable kind of disease appeared. To Christ, the whole world must have seemed like one giant hospital ward. He was thronged by a mass of suffering humanity on the way to death. What a scene! What a sight! Scarred human wrecks everywhere. This was a real place to practice medicine. The text says that Christ rebuked the fever in Simon Peter's mother-in-law and it left. In a word, she was healed. When he speaks, it's done. In the parallel text in Matthew, he touched her hand, it says, and our text says about the others who were brought to him that he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. It was as if he was restoring a broken connection. His every diagnosis was correct, healing was immediate and sure. The psalmist says about him, "Then I restored that which I took not away." In it all, it was as if the Heavenly Father was saying to you and to me and to all men everywhere, I want you to meet my son, the doctor. But as joyful as that occasion must have been for those people, you're happy when you're healed. It was tinged with sadness for Christ because he knew that what he was doing was only temporary patchwork. a momentary smoothing over of the flaws or the cracks in those crumbling chunks of clay. It was like with a child's wind-up toy. He had simply given that key a few extra turns, but sooner or later the machinery would wind down and stop for good. And it certainly happened, didn't it? All those people finally died. This is surely the Creator at work, only mending things for a moment. The complete cure is yet to come. When Adam and Eve sinned, they severed the connection. They cut the lifeline, and darkness and disease and death descended, and the effects of it are everywhere evident in this universe. The world is winding down. This is a world full of sin and sinners, all of them out of touch. All infected with a hideous disease. All really sick at heart. And not only are men cut off from God, alone, lost, alienated, but they're all opposed to Him. All in thick, suffocating darkness. So insidious is the disease that men refuse even to believe that they're sick or in need of help, while death parades openly everywhere, and men are, as it were, up to their necks choking in it. And yet they deny it, but are afraid of it. The disease is fatal. The wound is incurable. These are people who deserve to be left alone to die, as they have chosen to do. That the Creator of the universe, that the one who made all of this, should step into this diseased planet and rescue and heal people who have deliberately put their hands into the machinery, strains the imagination to do justice to it, but that's precisely what happened. The real story in this Lenten season is of the physician who chose not to heal himself. In order that he might bring lasting health to a race of diseased, dying men. With his eyes focused right on him, on Calvary, Isaiah describes him like this: "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Matthew put that Isaiah quote this way: "Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses, soaked them up into himself like a sponge, if you will, took them on himself and to death with him, and came back alive, free. Free from sin, sickness, death, and we in him." Whoever looks to that darkened, diseased figure draped on the pole lives. What an inscrutable mystery. The hands which have touched us, forever restoring the connection, are pierced, bloody hands. The leaves of that tree, the cross, are for the healing of the nations. With a word, he has communicated to us complete health eternally. He says, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." And when he speaks, it's done. In that word is everlasting relief for fevered people. That's how God breathes life and health into dead clay. And even though to these diseased, to these blind physical eyes, everything seems the same, the world is still coming apart at the seams, nevertheless, with St. John, we have the eye of an eagle to see beyond the grave and this decay to pierce through the darkness and with St. John see the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. And we see, too, that God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, because the former things are passed away. Well, the father can justifiably be proud of this son, the doctor, to whom paradise, health, and everything else is restored. The son who humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, deserves everything. All the honor, all the glory belong to him. Yet at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And every tongue should confess Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And our doctor has also promised to be here. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's always around, always there. Call upon me, he says. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee. That's a promise. And thou shalt glorify me. Well, now we can really live. We can heave a sigh of relief. And to tell the truth, we all want to be doctors. Dispensing the healing word to bruised men everywhere. And it's late in the day. May God give us the strength and the willingness to do just that for his son, the doctor's sake. Amen.